We don't need a whole lot of things to happen around us to see that God is still working. Isn't that right, Jerry? You know, we look at the situation with Brian and all the things that have happened to him since last Sunday. It's very easy to see that God is still working. He is living. He is active in our lives. He is working with us. He is working through us. And what we need to understand is that God is neither dead nor is he in retirement. Okay? So, what that means, at least in one sense, is that as long as we are still alive, okay, we're all going to die, right? Okay? Nobody's getting out of this thing without dying, all right? So, as long as we are alive, we cannot retire from God's service either. God hasn't retired, so we can't either. The reason I mention that is because a lot of folks in the church, and especially, you know, older folks, I'm going to pick on us older people for a little bit here, that we kind of tend to think, well, you know, I did my service in the church when I was younger. You know, I taught the Bible classes, and I did all those things when I was younger. Now, you know, it's up to the younger folks to take over and do those things, and I'm just kind of, you know, I'm just here. I don't know anything in the scripture that allows us to retire from God's service, okay, no matter how old we are. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has to be in teaching children's Bible classes. That's not the point. The point is that everybody has something they can be doing in service to the Lord. Okay? And we need to be allowing God to use us for his purpose, that he may work in us. As I said a moment ago, he is still working today, and he is working through us. Okay? In other words, when you think about, there are two major ways that God works in the world today. At least two that I know of and can articulate them, okay? One of them is what we have seen happen in this past week with folks like Brian. That God is working, through whatever means he sees fit, his power to heal and to strengthen physical bodies, to allow people to recover from injuries and illnesses and those kind of things. God working in directly in people's lives in that way. Okay? The other way, though, is that God works in and through his people. In other words, we are God's hands and feet and mouth and, you know, and so forth to do the things that God wants done. Right? So it's up to us then to be doing things like washing feet. In other words, serving other people. It's up to us to be telling other people about the Lord and bringing people to the Lord. It's up to us to be going about doing the things that need to be done on behalf of the Lord and his church. Because that's how he works today. And it doesn't matter how old someone is or how young someone is. Okay, it doesn't matter how much ability you have in terms of physical ability, for instance. God can still use you. Right? In order to work his work and his purpose in the world today, God can use us and will use us if we avail ourselves to him. Right? The Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Okay? Now, you know, Paul, in writing to the church in Philippi about the work, the good work, he says, that he had already begun. All right? I think specifically talking about the context about the work of salvation, of bringing souls to Christ, he's begun that work, and he's going to continue to do that work.
Choose the quarter.
Okay? But keep in mind that he says that he began that good work in you. Okay? Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Paul there says, now to him who is able to do what? Immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. Right? Is God still working? Yes. And he can do immeasurably more than what you or I can even imagine that he can do. You know, I don't know if this is a term in your vocabulary that you use sometimes, but it's kind of like that. Who would have thunk it? Okay? All right? Who would have thunk that God would do this? Who would have thunk that that would have been able to happen? When certain things occur, we expect certain outcomes to be the result. But God doesn't always live up to our expectations, does he? And his expectations are much higher than what ours are. And you cannot out-imagine God. See? So it really is a matter of being available to him so that he can do the immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine in us and through us. In chapter 2 and verse 10 of Ephesians, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So what does that tell us about what God is doing and what we need to be doing? Okay, all right. He's already planned these things out, hasn't he? Okay? And that you and me, we need to understand, it's not just, you know, you and me collectively. There is work for you and me to do collectively. All right? But it's also you and me specifically. He has work for you to do that is different than the work he has for me to do, and vice versa. Okay? But it's specific work that he gives us to do, each one according to what? To the abilities, to the talents that he has given to us to do. Again, not everyone is called to teach. Not everyone is called to preach. Okay? Everybody, we have different abilities, but everybody is called to serve. And so it's a matter of finding out what areas, what has God given you in terms of the ability to serve and to do the things that you can do based on what God has given you. Brian?
And you won't find that out unless you have a relationship with God.
Yeah, that's true. Because you have to make yourself available to him. And one of the things that I have learned in studying the scriptures through all the years is that God is a kind God. Okay? He's a gentleman, so to speak. In other words, he will not force himself on anyone. We are called and we are invited to come to him. Okay? And he gives us abilities and talents and so forth, but God will not force himself upon us. Okay? He wants us to answer that call and to respond to his love in a relationship with him. And the more we do that, okay, that relationship grows, the more we make ourselves available to him, and the more ways we find that God can use us again, to do what? His work. Okay? Remember, the key here to it all is that it is according to his purpose. That he has prepared things in advance for us to do. You know, one of my favorite phrases, and you've heard me say it a lot of times, is that God never says, whoops, I didn't see that coming. Okay? God is never caught off guard. You see? He's got things figured out. He's already prepared things in advance not only events to take place, but he's prepared in advance work that he has for you and I to do. Ever wonder why, for instance, that a certain person has come into your life at a certain time and may only be there for a very short time? It may be that for God's purpose, there was something that you were to do in that person's life. It may be something very simple, very short, but God brings people into our lives to accomplish His purpose. Does that mean everybody that comes into my life, I'm supposed to, you know, sit down and study the gospel with them and bring them to the Lord, or at least try, what have you? Well, I can try to do the best I can, but that may not be the purpose for me with this person at this time. But I do what God has me to do, and then passes that person on to somebody else. And they do their part, and then they go to somebody else, and they do their part, and you see how that works. Ms. Jean? You are.
And I'm thinking of, and even though that's all the people that we and when I show them what the Bible, they don't, if they have to small for the Bible, they get angry. So they don't do that. And now they're going to be the fact that she stops watching my life and she are in the outside.
Well, yeah, and we can't, you know, we can't get upset that somebody doesn't accept what we tell them, because it may be that's our role, is to confront them with whatever it is, and then again, they move to the next person, and maybe if they hear it enough from enough people, that it'll sink in. Maybe you were the first one, or the second or third one. You just don't know. You know, there are people that come into your life and then they go out, and you never know. You never hear from them again. You don't know what the outcome is, but God does. And I think the important thing is, you're coming, we just need to make sure we do what we're supposed to do. You say, and let God take it from there. Right? But no retirement. Okay? No retirement. We got to do that. You know, do what God tells us to do, what He calls upon us to do.
Being a learned myself, especially dealing with family, you still tell them what the truth is, but sometimes you're too close to those people for them to hear you. But I'm saying, still tell them the truth, but, you know, hopefully, like you said, that other person, because I've seen it myself, you plant the seed and let God do His work, and sometimes that's somebody else getting involved, and you don't even have to know about it. Just
exactly. As the Apostle Paul said, he said, I planted, Paul's watered, and what? God gave the increase. See? And that's what we need to do. We need to be either be planters or waterers or fertilizers or whatever it is, and let God be the one who gives the increase. But the point is that God has work that He is still doing. And that work involves all of us. In one way or another, it is involving us in His daily work, in what He has planned. Look in verse 21 of this prayer here. He says, the last part of verse 20, that our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of sheep, may equip you with everything good for doing His will. Okay? The word equip that is used here in the original language is a surgical term. Okay? And basically what that word refers to is the setting of a dislocated bone. Say, well, why is that word used here? Well, because basically what it really refers to, what it means is basically to restore to its former condition. Okay? We think of the word equip as simply the idea of, you know, getting all the stuff we need, all the equipment we need to do a job, right? But this word has a different connotation to it. It's restoration. Restoring to the former condition. Well, what's the former condition? Come on, don't fail this test now.
Worthy.
What now?
I said being worthy, you know, what we were before.
No, he's talking about restoring us, that we are restored, equipped, okay, restored to the former condition so that we can do his work. What's that former condition that he wants to restore us to?
Like
Adam and Eve. Thank you. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day condition, right? That kind of a relationship. That's what God wants to do with us. Okay? And through the blood of Jesus, he has accomplished that, has he not? Alright, look at what he says again here. That he brought back from the dead. Okay, we were dead in our sins. We were what? Separated from God. Okay? But through him, the great shepherd of the sheep, we are restored, or he has restored you to the former condition. And not only that, but with everything good for doing his will. So not only are we brought back into a walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship with God, but in that process, he has given us what we need to do what he wants us to do. So, one of the things we have to understand about that is that the relationship that God has with us and wants with us, this walking in the garden in the cool of the day relationship, okay, is a working relationship. Okay? When Adam and Eve were placed in the garden by God, what were they supposed to be doing there? Yeah. They were there to tend the garden. They weren't just kind of sitting back, laying in hammocks, sipping on cold ones, you see. That's not what living in the Garden of Eden was all about. They were there, God put them there to work the garden, to tend it. Now, after they sinned, what happened? The work became a whole lot more difficult, you see. All right? But they were already working in the garden. They were doing God's work. And so the point is that the relationship with God that he wants to have with us, that he restores us to through the blood of Jesus, is a working relationship. That is, that he has work for us to do, and he's equipped us to do what he wants us to do. Restored us to that relationship, so that we can do his work. Literally, in the Greek language, it says, may he adjust you. I like that translation. Okay? May he adjust you. Not just equip, but may he adjust you. What areas of your life, you don't have to answer this, what areas of your life do you need some adjusting in? Okay, yeah, if you're talking about me, I would say all of them. Okay?
Hmm? It's like bad timing somebody.
Yeah. Maybe just you. Just keep your hearing me. Okay? God is adjusting us, in other words, so that he can use us to do his work. Right? And again, the key here is his work. That over and over again, it is his work, not ours. Okay? When I allow God to do that, to adjust me, to do his good work, then in some ways that makes me a little bit more tolerant when I get interrupted from doing the things that I'm doing, even though I may be doing his work. Sometimes I need to be interrupted. Because I need to remember in that God's schedule is different than mine. And I know for myself personally, you know, just working in ministry, I mean, this is what I do. But it's not just a matter of putting together sermons and so forth, it's being with people and so forth. Well, you know, I think I can honestly say that there are not too many days that I start out knowing what I have planned to do for the day. Here's my schedule, and here's what I'm, you know, hoping to get done, that somewhere along the line in that day, a phone call changes all of that. In other words, it interrupts what I had planned to do, even though what I had planned to do was God's work. It still gets interrupted. And I have to change my schedule in order to accommodate God's schedule. And when I realize that God, and I keep in mind that He is adjusting me, then when those interruptions come like that, it's not bothersome. Okay? It's just realizing that, okay, this is where God wants me to focus right now instead of over here. And able to go and do that. Right?
I think sometimes He interrupts us to make us realize it's not our work that we're doing. But we learn from the basics, like you said, I got it planned out. I got this planned out. You don't know that God always has to be closing.
I can make my to-do list all I want to, but He may have different things on my to-do list than I do. And so it helps if I remember that it's His to-do list that I need to be focusing on, not mine. The second thing that it does is it can make me more tolerant when, you know, when I'm facing or during times of preparation for the things that I need to do. Okay? Which oftentimes can bring pain or can be very painful, those times of preparation. So in other words, if you go back and you look at the basic word that we're talking about here, the word for equip, that is this surgical term for setting a dislocated bone, then it makes sense when we realize that, you know, resetting a broken bone can be very painful, can it? Remember one time when my son Kyle was about 5 years old, and he was out in the front yard with a bunch of other little kids, and they were playing football, and the worst of all things could possibly happen, a girl hurt him. One of the girls that was playing football with him rolled over on him and bent his thumb back and dislocated him. He walked in the house, and he's crying, he goes, "Eh, my thumb," and it was kind of hanging off to the side there and all, and I looked at it, and go, "It's broken." And his big thing, you know, we have to go to the emergency room, we'll go and let him fix it and all. And his whole thing, the whole way to the hospital, "Do I have to get a shot?" He's 5 years old, you know. "Do I have to get a shot?" Well, you know, up here in my pea brain that I have, I'm thinking, you know, it's okay to come. What do you want to get a shot for? You don't need a shot for it. So we get in there, the emergency room, the doctor comes in, looks at it, and he goes, "Okay, looks like what we're going to do, we're just going to give you a shot." And then I go, "God, you told me I was going to have a shot. That's for the pain." Why didn't I think of that? All he was concerned about is I told him he wasn't going to have to get a shot, and now he does, you see. But it's painful, isn't it? You have to get that pain reset. And in order to get things reset, sometimes we've got to go through some pain. And that's true not just with physical injuries that we have, but it's the same with emotional injuries, relational injuries. That in order to get healing to take place, we have to go through the pain. Once we get through the pain, then the healing can begin to occur. But there are very few times where we can reset things without that involving pain. I'm talking about relationships. It involves oftentimes swallowing some pride and all of those things and going to the other person and saying, I was, you know, doing the Fonz thing, right? You know, I wasn't wrong, I just wasn't right. You know, we have to swallow that pride and say, yeah, I was wrong. You know, will you forgive me? That's painful. But it's an adjustment that needs to take place if the relationship is ever going to be restored and be allowed to grow. Because you see, if that bone, for instance, is not reset, then it will not grow back properly, and that limb will be useless. Or at least it will not be as useful as it otherwise could be if we allowed ourselves to go through the pain to reset it so that it could heal properly and then continue to be useful. The message here is that we cannot avoid the pain. We have to allow ourselves to go through that pain that is necessary so that we can allow the healing to take place, so the growth can continue, so that ultimately the goal is we can continue to be useful to God for His work in our lives. There's a song that I first heard it years and years ago, about we were over in Colonial Heights by the group a cappella, it's called He's Still Working on Me. Well, you may be familiar with that song, but the beginning of that song goes like this. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be, because he's still working on me. We need to remember that, you know, this is that adjusting, that equipping that the writer here is talking about. Equipping us or adjusting us, resetting us. And it's a continual thing. Equipping us, as he says here, for with everything good, okay? He's equipping us with everything good for doing His will. That we, or that, I'm all tangled up here. For doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him. So He is continually adjusting, tweaking, resetting us so that we will be able to do what it is He wants us to do. Now, the question is, what are the things that we can and oftentimes do to keep God from accomplishing that in us?
Yep. This whole time I'm thinking about Moses and God.
Okay.
That they instantly told him to do it. Now, I do the same thing with Moses too. And talking about how he had worked with me specifically. And then when he's picking up his
we know in my everyday life, and that goodness is a need. We know that from somewhere, maybe not completely, but somewhere we can help that need. If you need to do it, you can have eyes on it. God doesn't walk here on the earth, He walks us up to do it. So we are.
We got to tend to garden.
Yeah. I'm not sure if that's a possibility. If mom wants somebody else to do it, all they did do it, get it.
We've got to be careful about making excuses, you know, kind of like Moses. I'm not eloquent of speech, you know. I don't have any experience in this. I don't know how to do this. I've never done this before. Well, you know, I've never done anything I've ever done before the first time I did it. Okay? I mean, think about that. Neither of you. You never walked before until the first time you started walking. It always takes a first time. And that's, you know, to teach or to preach or to, lead a Bible study or just to talk to somebody about the Lord, share the Bible with them or whatever the case may be. Okay. You've never done it before until you do it. And once you've done it that first time, you can't ever say, I've never done that before. Maybe you just allow God to take you from there. I've said this before, I know some of you don't believe me, but, you know, back when I was younger, in fact, even when I, you know, was a trooper, and I did some things to try to help me to achieve and accomplish, but it scared the daylights out of me, the thought of getting up in front of a group of people and talking. Now they can't shut me up, you know. But that was just something that, you know, I just... Never done that before. I don't plan on ever doing it. God had some other plans, didn't he? So we gotta realize that, you know, no excuses. Allow God to use us, and again, remember that it is His work and His will that we are doing. The other thing, the final thing here in this is talking about God's pattern. He talks about the Lord Jesus, this is the last part of verse 20. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Okay? Jesus is the great shepherd who showed us how, first of all, to live. Right? He's our example of how we are to live our lives in this world, on this earth. We need to follow His example there. He also showed us how to endure suffering. Okay? And one of the most powerful ways that He demonstrated that was to focus on the Father's will, not on His own, as He prayed in the garden. He was certainly suffering already there, as the Bible describes, and He prayed. What was his prayer? Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but my will. So it is, again, showing us how to go through the suffering that we will go through in this life, and that the great example there is to focus on what God's will is for our life. Rather than what we want. You see, the problem with what we want, and when we're suffering, the most of the time, the number one thing we want is to stop the pain. Okay? Whatever the source of the pain is, we just want to stop. And ultimately, the problem with that is that when pain goes on for a while, then we're willing to do anything it takes to stop the pain. Jesus didn't compromise. He turned to the Father and called upon Him to do His will in his life. And then finally, this part of God's pattern is the great shepherd of the sheep showed us how to die. Showed us how to die. Because ultimately that's what we are called upon to do. We've been talking about in our study on in worship time on Sunday morning, it's all about the cross. Crosses are made for what purpose? To die. And Jesus certainly showed us, demonstrated to us, how to do that. That's what Jesus calls upon every single one of us to do. Anyone who wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And Jesus showed us how to do it. He didn't just tell us how to do these things. He showed us how to do it. And he calls upon us to follow him. The great shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ. So there is the letter to the Hebrews, to the church of Christians, who needed a lot of encouragement to face the things that they were facing in their lives. And as we've seen throughout this study, their circumstances in the first century were not a whole lot unlike ours today. We face many of the same kinds of problems and discouragements and so forth that they were facing. And so I hope that throughout this study that it's been able to help all of us to be able to see the ways that God calls upon us to help us to be encouraged in the face of the discouragement so that we ultimately will not lose our soul. Right. So I hope this study has been beneficial to you for that and a whole lot of other things. That concludes this study on Hebrews. And again, keep in mind, next Sunday we will not have Bible class. We will pick up a study beginning the second Sunday in January. We'll start a study on the book of Revelation. All right? We're still working on what we're going to do on New Year's Day in terms of that Bible class study. Who's going to be doing that? But we'll let you know. Thank you all very much.